Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't the only thing Pittsburgh was waiting for.
They firmly believe that Aaron Rodgers will be their quarterback. Look, they're not stupid.
The U.S. Open heads just outside the Steel City.
We believe there are just certain places in our game where you stand on the first tee and you look out over the landscape, and it is just meant to play the U.S. Open. Oakmont is that place.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
The club prides itself on being America's greatest test of golf.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HT2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Tuesdays are off to a great start. Speaking of Langdon Farms, do you know what's going on June 24th? What you guys got? You got anything in your big gay planner on June 24th?
Let me check my planner here, which is rainbow colored. Yeah, I did, but I said big event happening.
Big event.
I have
what
that
could
right?
it be? Make sure you got your gap wedge or your 56, depending on how you're feeling with your distances this time of year.
I don't know if Swag knows what a gap wedge degree is.
Oh, you don't have do you have a gap wedge in your bag?
Yeah, I have a gap wedge. Yeah,
you got a gap wedge? You got a 56?
I had a 56.
How far do you hit your gap wedge?
Between 100 and 110.
Okay. Well, that actually might be the right club for you then.
Yes.
Because that's about the length of the sixth hole, which is where we'll be hanging out on June
24th. Oh, where they put the pin. If
front
it's
pin, back pin, and it changes it.
But it's a hilly green, so like if you hit it right, it could roll a little bit.
I mean, you want to be a little long, try and bring it back. Pull the yo-yo, if you will.
Yeah.
You'd like to do that route. But,
I don't have that
But if
ability.
They tuck that pin right up by that front bunker.
It's a shorter club. Then you're looking at about 90-something yards.
And then you got the
yards.
Wind to deal
yeah.
with.
What are the winds? It's going to be in your face. It's going to be to the right,
I don't want to go long on
it
that
looks
green.
Like a pretty benign little par three, but oh no.
Challenging.
The
right?
volcano, they call it.
Yeah.
That'll actually be a topic for this week, because there's a par three at Oakmont. Now I'm now getting distracted in my own live
it's
read for the Fan Golf Classic.
301 yards one day.
They have a 300-yard par three in the U.S. Open. Like, no, guys are legitimately using... Colin Morikawa on his practice run yesterday hit a driver.
Yeah.
300?
300 yes. yards.
Why are we doing 300-yard par threes?
There are a lot of
that's
players asking that question.
Like, give me something
what was it
that's,
before?
I mean, it's always been long there.
It's always been long.
But they ranked
when
yes.
they were there in 2016...
220?
No, no, no.
I think it was 270, probably.
Why would
no,
you
it was 300.
Was it 300 then?
And
didn't
so
like
they
it
said,
all?
I read wow. where they're going to one day. It's officially 289 on the card, but they'll move the tees back and forth. But one day they will, I think they're going to put it at 301 to make it
driver
the
there.
Longest par three.
These guys
three.
Hit 330.
I mean, you got to hit like a little knockdown bunt. You can't hit a three with 300 yards. Not many
yeah,
of them can.
Is it better to be short and then chip up? I don't know.
Speaking of on June 24th, your local Toyota dealers present the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms, brought to you by Henderson Dotter Windows and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. There's going to be the afternoon round sold out. Sorry, tough luck for you. Morning round still available. You can go snag a tee time. It is 2 weeks from today. Matt's Barbecue is going to be there. Victor Rico's is going to be there hooking up all the food that you need. 1080thefan.com. You can purchase your Fan Golf Classic. Foursome and look at for the logo for all the details and the link to purchase. So looking forward to seeing you out in 2 weeks. Yeah, I have a fundamental philosophy that we have lost the plot on par threes.
300 yards is dumb.
The reason why I had this thought bubble was because we were talking about the sixth hole at Langdon, which is a less than, not always.
It's usually like 100, 105.
Depending on where the tees are at and where you can put the pin all the way in the back and it could play a little bit longer, or you could have the tees a little bit up and the pin all the way up and you're playing a 90-something yard par three. And what is it still? An incredibly challenging hole. Because if you don't hit the green, how many of us are going to blade our next chip over to the other side or duff the chip and then have it roll right back at your feet? And so it's a challenging, nuanced hole that does not have an unattainable reachability, as I'm looking for phrasing there, on what's something that's so long.
What is the average par three length in your minds? What number comes to your mind?
Now, in terms of what I, the average of like what you
the
play,
PGA
or like
Tour
perfect?
Or what?
No. The PGA
for us,
is stupid, clearly. I don't know what they're doing. I'd
say 160.
I think
150. 175, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that range.
175, huh?
Yeah.
I think I am of the core philosophy that par three should range between 100 yards and no longer than 175.
I mean, I'm 100% in that,
Local municipal courses.
Yeah,
PGA
for us.
Tour, like whatever.
The slappies,
whatever.
Us,
yeah.
Yes.
300 yards is still stupid, but... No. 100 to 175 to me is good.
If I have to use a four hybrid on your par three, I'm not a fan of your par three.
You're a little upset about that.
There's one of those at Forest Hills.
I didn't want to name a course.
200,
but yeah, I was
five
exactly
yards.
Exactly thinking of that par three.
Four.
It's ridiculous.
Or par three, the fourth hole.
I have to use a four hybrid on that shot.
Yeah,
the eighth hole at Eastmoreland. If you play the tips and you're all the way back, and the pin's all the way back.
Which hole? The fourth.
The eighth hole.
Oh,
so it's right before the par five that goes along the road. It's that long, kind of narrow, straight. Not a lot to it. It's just a straight run-of-the-mill par three.
Yeah.
It can get up there. I've used driver on that, like a little three-quarter swing driver before.
Really?
Because it can play like 250. I mean, if you get it all the way long, I think it's set at about 200, but if you go tips and back pin,
but think about the most iconic par threes that the PGA Tour plays.
Yes.
TPC Sawgrass is only like 130 yards.
Yeah. Pebble Beach.
Most of them are using gap wedge on that.
Number
TPC
seven
shot.
There is like
100 yards.
10.
Yeah. Amen Corner.
Amen
I know it's not a PGA Tour stop.
Or something.
What hole number is this 300 one? Because now I
think it's eight.
Okay.
I
think it's
I'll
eight.
Go find
I
can't it.
It's been the talk of the golf world all week.
The 5-inch rough.
Yeah. And then, you know. That deep bush.
Well, that's normal. So. They got deep bush at Oakmont. We know they got big bush.
You
got
to make it challenging. Yeah. You know, that's the way they're going to make it challenging. Well, we got lost there in golf holes. So there you go. Fan Golf Classic 2 weeks from today. Text in your mail sack questions 503-864-6326, and we'll answer them here right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if we got a longer sack or a shorter sack today. Still to be determined on that front. Does Grant Wright signing do anything for you as a fan?
What have I told you too many times to count? I mean, this is like a not. It does nothing for me. It's ratings TV talk to me. It's
sure. I think what this would, the only thing that I would counter with, because I don't blame you at all for that take.
It's going to change in 2 years.
No, I mean, no, the Grant Wright stuff, at least, like, you're going to know in the coming days what your TV package is going to be for the Pac-12. And
yeah.
It sounds like there might be four partners.
Yeah.
And you're
I think
there'll
be about 12 and a half per year.
12 and a half per year?
That's my prediction.
Nothing. Swag, does it do anything for you?
Who's signing Grant Wright's?
What? Your conference has signed a Grant Wright's deal, the Pac-12.
Okay.
They all eight members have signed their Grant Wright's officially.
Good
so they've
that.
Signed the Grant Wright's?
They've all signed it.
Okay.
And we're waiting to find out.
They still need,
this is usually
they still
the first
need
step.
An eighth football playing team,
they
and they actually
they
need a media deal. So
that's yeah. What the
that's
Grant
what
Wright's,
Grant Wright's is.
Is what they
I
signed.
Understand
they
that,
signed
but...
on to the media deal. They have a that's why it's a big they have a media deal. That's why I'm asking.
Announce
is this
it.
A big deal?
Let me know. Who where are they going to be?
Is this a big
How
deal
much
to you?
Money are they going to make?
If you were in a situation similar, is this a big deal to you?
I know a lot of my stuff with Oregon State can seem patronizing when I don't genuinely mean it to be patronizing.
You mean get four of these.
Get you four of these, dude. Four. That's four more than we got. This one, though, like, yeah, this would help a little bit for me because I think it's a reminder of you're in this weird, you're in college football purgatory right now. You're playing Washington State twice and a Lafayette that I didn't know existed as a college this year on your schedule. And so you're just in this weird no man's land, just wandering the wilderness looking for a home. And this is a reminder that you will have at least have a conference in a calendar year from now when we're gearing up for the start of the college football season. We'll be talking about your conference schedule and who you're playing. And if you win it, do you have a chance to go to the college football playoff? And seeing where your games are going to be broadcasted, like that would mean something to me as a fan. Now, we don't know specifically yet. Everybody is guesstimating who it's going to be. Sounds like the CW will be a part of it. It sounds like ESPN is in the mix here because they want their Pac-12 After Dark back, so they want that 7:30 kick time again. TNT is desperate. This went under the radar last week, but TNT bought a bigger package away from ESPN where they're going to air college football semifinal games on TNT because they're losing the NBA. They're desperate for content to show people, hey, this is what's going to be on our network. Don't cancel our subscriptions. And there's a rumored report that TNT and Max could be involved in this as a college football broadcasting partner. So, yeah, I mean, I understand the pessimism and the turn off of the story immediately, but at least knowing the grant of rights have been signed. That means a media deal has been agreed to. And we've known all along they weren't going to add another football member until this grant of rights was signed and they had an ability to discuss what the terms were going to be with the new school.
I wish I could give you more. It's really summed up. Like, just tell me when it happens. I'm so tired.
It'll be in the next day or two. I mean, once you sign the grant of rights deal, you're literally on the horizon of finding out.
TV ratings, TV media deal, grant of rights, NIL, and portal are just like so exhausting topics. Of just, they don't do anything for me. They don't change how I feel. I'm not expecting a big number. I'm expecting spread out media right deal. Yep. TNT, the one good thing about that that does get any interest or response from me, I'm really sad that TNT has lost the NBA because I actually think their TV coverage with sports is about as tier one as it gets. I know you didn't watch. Their French Open coverage was...
It got great remarks. Everybody loved it.
Did you see Agassi?
Yeah.
Andre Agassi was on the broadcast table. Like, they have Gretzky on their hockey, which I know they get really high acclaim for their hockey coverage as well. They have Agassi on their desk, and he is just... He is unreal. He's talking about Alcaraz, and he's, like, comparing Alcaraz to all three of the GOATs. The Djokovic's, the Federer's, the Nadal's, and he's saying why he's kind of a combination package. And he's like, I don't know if he's going to put it together and be the all-time leader in majors, but this is why he's good. Backhand this way, just like Nadal. Forehand this way, approach like Djokovic. Like, the way that he talked and explained things from a technical standpoint, he didn't, you know, he dumbed it down enough where you didn't need to be a tennis player to get what he was saying. I thought he was absolutely a home run hire by them.
I'd be really curious what their college football broadcasting team would look like.
I'm going to imagine it's good.
Yeah. Like, Brian Anderson on the call of those games? You get Brian Anderson
probably,
in your life?
Probably, yeah.
Because he was calling the French Open, right? I didn't watch any of it, but I heard
he was on the French Open, and I forget who else was there. I mean, obviously, they're going all day, so they have a number. They're rotating.
They're just
through.
Good with sports coverage, which makes them not bidding for the NBA incredibly stupid.
Yeah, that's going to be one that they regret, and now they're having to spend money to try and make up for it by buying college football semifinal games and potentially a grant of rights deal and media rights deal with the Pac-12.
It's the same guy
who's... Not to mention your basketball games could be on TNT, too, because this is, I mean, I'm assuming this is going to be...
Kevin Harlan and Corvallis. Dude, yeah, I'm all the way in.
This could be this is a partner for football.
Although, I think he's with Amazon.
For NBA stuff?
I think Harlan... Well, he had to leave TNT.
Yeah.
They're not calling basketball anymore.
Unless they retain him, because now he gets to call Gonzaga games.
Well, I don't know if he's... I don't know if he's...
I think he's doing NBA. Kevin Harlan's not calling Pac-12 basketball games.
I don't know if his CBS contract doesn't allow him to, because he's with CBS for the NFL.
Yeah.
And college basketball.
He will work for the number two play-by-play guy for Amazon Prime.
That's what I thought. I read that. Yeah. So he's going to do Amazon.
Ian Eagle is the main guy.
That's right.
Harlan, why can Harlan not get a number one gig?
I don't think he cares.
I don't think he does either, but he should.
Doing he's so many different things.
I agree.
That he may not be available to do. Because he still has his deal.
I mean,
he
so does Ian Eagle. Ian Eagle's everywhere calling everything.
Yeah, but Harlan does Westwood One Radio for the Super Bowl and the Monday Night Football, those sorts of things.
If you
and
gave him a number one job, would he give up that, though?
He'd figure out a schedule.
I mean, he would, but does part of him doing that mean he's not a number one?
I mean, it's just all what's in the contracts, but he does so much stuff that it might just be an availability.
I mean, the Zasloff guy, you always see him courtside with Larry David, and I'm just like, why is anybody friends with this
just
clown?
Just hanging out.
This is a guy who's like, hey, we got to stop calling it HBO. We got any HBO Max. Okay.
HBO
hey,
now.
We're dropping HBO Max, and we're just calling it Max. Hey, turns out people love the brand HBO. Yeah. We're going to bring it back. HBO Max. Like,
snip, snap, snip, snap.
These are your moves. Yeah. These are your $25 million a year. These are your big, grandiose ideas.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Well, look, I understand the poo-poo of it. I understand Beaver fan is exhausted, but at least there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel of knowing where your games will be broadcasted. The grant of rights have been signed by all member institutions. You still need one more football team. You got a full basketball conference.
Some people, this is their brand. This is like the big thing that they talk about. I just don't find any of it interesting. I think it's boring. I think it's rumor mill fodder most of the time. And once it's done, we don't talk about it again. So I hate to be that guy to you. This is not, you could throw 80 other things at me. You could talk about any sport, and I'd rather talk about that sport than grant of rights.
The grant of rights, huh? Don't do it for you. They want to know where you're going to be able to watch your Beaver baseball.
I'll figure that out when they announce it. I don't want to speculate.
Well, the signing of the grand rights means it soon, and we'll talk about it when it comes out. It sounds like ESPN, CW, TNT, and maybe a fourth banana will be in the mix for the new media deal for the Pac-12 conference. And we'll find out shortly. The mail sack is around the corner. Get your questions in. 503-864-6326. That's where you can send them. We'll answer them next on The Fam.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time to sack it up. We'll see if it's a two-sack or a one-sack Tuesday.
Ooh.
It's always a fun journey. You never know where it's going to go.
We are a lot alike and different in many ways, and I think that that Grant Wright's one, I feel bad that I peed in your Cheerios a little bit. I'm sorry.
No, I think we were almost talking about two different things. Like, the Grant Wright's point, I see your argument. It's not that big of a deal. The curiosity for me is, what does the TV deal look like that makes you... happy is not the right word, but like, that to me is the newsworthy part of it. And so the signing of the Granite Rights means that you've agreed to your media partnership. And so that's the part of it that I'm like, I heard reports all of Oregon State athletics, all their Olympic sports are all going to be on ESPN Plus. Like, it's little stuff like that for fans that I...
But we don't know that.
But we don't know that
because
yet.
Because the same people reporting that stuff were the same ones telling us the Pac-12 was fine, and then it died in
front
of
our
eyes.
I mean, that's the whole point. You've signed the Granite Rights, so you've agreed to the media deal is now in... You've signed it. It's done. We just don't know what it is.
But it's still speculation.
We don't know what
it is. And also the people reporting it, I can't trust because they completely lied to us for a calendar year.
Oh, I haven't seen what those people are reporting, actually. They might be reporting the same thing. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just saying, like, just give me the details. And until then, like, I think I'm so exhausted from how the Pac-12 blew up and covering that for the calendar year that I just cannot be bothered by it anymore. Even though one of the few teams involved is my team. I just, like, just tell me when it's... here and what it is.
Well, we should know in the very near future. And somebody texting in saying it'll probably get announced at 9:05 this morning, which it probably will. Mail sack question. This one applies to all three of you. What is or was one movie or show that you only watched because of your kids that you ended up surprisingly liking?
I don't mind Bluey. I saw a story that Olivia Munn doesn't let her child watch children's television because she's like, I'm not watching that crap. And I'm like, God, you sound like a delightful Hollywood type.
Bluey, when she make her kids watch them, like QVC,
only something that she's into. I don't know.
Lifetime movies.
I thought it was a weird flex.
Documentaries or something.
Bluey is good. I don't mind Bluey. They don't watch that as much. They're getting a little older, but if a new episode comes out, they get excited. They do have a cartoon that I definitely would have watched as a person of their age back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's similar note of like a Doug or a Hey Arnold. And it's a show on Disney called Big City Greens.
Big City Greens.
And it's hilarious. It's good. It's something that, like, we watched it together, the newest episode. I don't mind it.
Okay. Bluey is my easy answer. I love Bluey's a great show. I could watch Bluey on my own. Little 8-minute episodes. They're quick, to the point.
Did Teddy Ballgame watch Ms. Rachel?
I never did the Ms. Rachel thing.
She got canceled by some people for her.
Why'd she get canceled?
She's pro protect children in Gaza. You got to be careful there, dude.
You got to be careful there. You can't go down that road.
Care about children.
How dare you? No, thankfully, we never did the Miss Rachel thing. He's on a bit of a Daniel Tiger kick right now.
Oh,
he gets excited for Daniel Tiger.
Daniel Tiger.
Points at the TV.
That wasn't bad. I liked that. It was Mr. Fine. Rogers. So
I'm trying to keep it in a Daniel Tiger, Bluey, Sesame Street wheelhouse. I can handle all of those.
My kids never really got into the Sesame Street.
Didn't do it.
I tried, and they just... And they didn't capture them.
Yeah, we're a big fan of Elmo right now. He sees Elmo on TV. We're getting pretty pumped, pretty jacked.
Get him a Tickle Me Elmo.
Elmo will do it.
Yeah.
No, once Pax got old enough, the only thing that I would watch with him was SpongeBob. SpongeBob was hilarious.
You liked SpongeBob.
You were a SpongeBob.
You're not a stoner either. You That's a shocking upset.
Weirdest human being alive. Do you know that?
Hey, thank you.
Like, yeah. I don't understand you at all.
I agree.
The things that you like and don't like, and then you come on the air and tell me that SpongeBob is a good show?
You tell us all the time how immature or dumb we are, which isn't always wrong.
No, you're spot on
SpongeBob
the majority of the time.
Show that made me chuckle.
It is the dumbest show.
It is. But some of the writing was really good.
Huh. The voices
are
hilarious.
It's hard when you do something SpongeBob. That's dumb to make it funny.
Yeah.
It's one of the most difficult things to do in comedy. Is
the character that wants to see him fail at the burger joint, that's I forget the character's
Krabs,
name.
Or no?
Not Krabs. No,
the
one-eyed one.
Yeah.
Yeah, him. I like him. Yeah.
He's vengeful.
He's like the George Costanza of that show. Always angry.
Mail sack question. Help me settle a debate with a buddy. If I said the 2020 Super Bowl, do you think of the Super Bowl from the 2020 season, a la Tampa Bay versus Kansas City, or the Super Bowl that happened in 2020, which is Kansas City versus San Francisco?
I hate that this becomes debatable. It's not debatable. If you say the 2020 Super Bowl, I'm thinking of the year the Bucks won it, even though I think they technically played in the year of 2021.
Yes, I think of the season. The majority of the season that 90% of the season resided in, that's what I think of.
Same.
Which would have been the 2020 Super Bowl would have been Tampa, Kansas City, right?
2020.
Yeah, that was technically been 2021.
I think of it as the calendar year. So, okay.
So 2021.
February of 2020, what Super Bowl occurred?
That was the 49ers and Chiefs.
Yes. So
but it was the 2019 regular season.
I know it's
season.
From the 2019 season, but.
You go opposite on that one.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question here.
Because I remember, I think Niners and Chiefs happened and then COVID hit.
What year did the Cowboys beat the Steelers in the last Super Bowl appearance? What year was that? What
season? 1995.
No. They played it in 96.
No, they played it in 96.
But they won the 95 Super Bowl.
But it was the,
See, that's the point.
Thank you. That's my point. Is like you can't, it's like a month and a half of football versus the rest of the football was played in the other calendar year.
Mail sack question. How high of a golf score would you still be happy with, but you hit a hole in one in the round? In other words, you accomplish this rare, awesome feat. How much can the rest of the round go off the rails for you to still appreciate the moment?
If I hit a hole in one and shot like a 110, I'd be totally
that's
cool.
Never happened before. You've never done that.
100% I did it. Hole in one, second hole,
well,
Stone Creek.
Well, I think it also would have to do what course am I playing.
Pick Four Sills.
A course you play regularly, I think you're...
Then it would have to be, if it's Forest Hills...
If you shot a 102 and had a hole in one...
I would feel like you do about your hole in one.
Ecstatic?
Sprague's pretty braggadocious about
it. I got a hole in one.
Yeah. He doesn't care. The score doesn't bother you. The score doesn't bother Sprague.
I'm not a good golfer.
Yeah.
What does he not have that I have? And he's a better golfer than me.
I got a hole in one. That's a children's course. I got a plaque.
Your dad was blocking the hole with his feet.
Hanging out in my man cave.
He called backboard.
Literally in the newspaper. Okay. There's photo evidence of it.
Well, actually,
in the Oregonian.
I hoped you move. I would believe you. You still have that. It's probably framed at this point.
It literally is. It's been framed my entire life, bitch. Why'd you
know
that in your pipe and smoke?
You have a wall of Fokker at your house, except you created it for yourself.
I'm playing at Forest Hills. If I had a hole in one, I would want the round to not be in triple digits.
My number is 90.
So if you had a hole in one, you shot a 93.
I'm not saying it ruins my round, but
I shot a 93.
It takes some luster off of it.
Really, it does. Yeah, because I've made this argument before. Like when I shot 71 at Stone Creek, it's the only time in my life I've ever broken par. I have the golf ball and the scorecard in a frame, and it's hanging on my wall of Fokker. That's in my man cave.
Yes.
If I got a hole in one, I'm doing the same thing, and I want the number on the scorecard to be something that I enjoy looking at. And not just looking at one hole and saying, wow, that was lucky, but looking at it like it would mean a lot more. If I shot a 75 with an ace, that scorecard is going to slap on that
ball. Now, if I had some opportunity through, you know, whatever channels we've developed all here and I'm playing Pebble Beach and I had a hole in one on 7.
Different, yes.
But I shot 107.
Different.
Doesn't matter.
Because it's a famous hole.
Right.
Agree completely with
you. Well, let me just say this, guys. Because I'm the expert on this show, on this topic.
You are.
You are.
I think if you got a hole-in-one in the moment, early, late, mid, doesn't matter. I think you discover in the moment, It just, that's it, man.
I mean, in the moment, you're not wrong.
Oh, yeah. Of your day.
In the moment, you're not
wrong. You're not going to drive home and go, oh, I shot a 97 with a hole. You're going to be like, I got a hole in one today.
No, it's more about the.
How awesome is that?
The looking at the scorecard for me. That's what it's a down the road impact. You're not wrong in the moment. When you get an ace, even if you're having a bad, like, you're celebrating, you're throwing your club, and it doesn't really matter what the rest of the round looks
but
like.
But I don't
much.
Look at the scorecard.
But then as you're telling the story later,
I would
on,
always look at the scorecard.
Like,
you just remember the shot in the moment.
Yeah, but I want to frame the card. I don't want it to be 7-8, 7-6, 7-1, 5-9, 8, 7-6. Like, that would suck.
I think it's funnier.
Telling the story.
I think it's funnier that I shot a 110 with a hole-in-one. It sums up golf in a nutshell.
Let's get to a couple more mail sack questions, shall we? I got a few more. We got like a half of a sack left. Not a full sack, but like a half of a sack.
But we got a
sack and a half.
And then how do we fill the void? We'll ask that question as well in the final half hour of the show. We got a lot still to get to. We're back after this.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, how do you fill the void? We'll get to that in a moment. We're in the middle of a sack conversation and answering some sack questions. Let's see what else we got here today, boys.
Didn't Shaq Thompson retire? Because the Bills just announced that they signed him.
Shaq Thompson, the old linebacker
I thought he retired.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't know he was still around.
I know that's random and he's not going to make or break anything.
That's a name I haven't heard in quite some time.
That was a big deal back in the day. I was interning, I think. Or I just
the recruiting battle for Shaq Thompson was a very big deal.
You know who it involved?
Tosh Lapoy.
Tosh Lapoy.
Who's now waving flags in his backyard. this one, follow along here. There will be a quiz at the end.
Okay? Sure.
Follow along. Yeah. Pay attention closely.
Yeah, okay.
It's a P1. He's asked this question a few weeks in a row, so I'm gonna get it off the books.
Apologies.
Let's clear it off the books. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
He continues to ask.
I feel bad when we don't get to our
You get
questions.
The following amounts of money in cash, but you can never again leave the state for as long as you live.
I copy-pasted this one. He asked this last week and I didn't have time to get to it.
Okay. $500 million for Alaska, but you never leave the state. You got to stay in. You can't leave the confines of the state the rest of your life.
Can I live anywhere in the state?
Anywhere in the state, you can never leave the state.
Can I have multiple spots in the state?
But you got it. You can do whatever you want with your
you
money.
You got to be in the state.
Okay, right. $500 million for Alaska.
Okay.
$200 million for Mississippi or Alabama. $100 million for Oklahoma or Iowa. $50 million for Georgia or Tennessee. $25 million for Texas or Massachusetts. Or Arizona, or $10 million for Washington and Oregon, and finally $5 million for Florida, California, or Hawaii.
I'm going to give you a crazy answer here. I know it's $500 million. Anchorage is a very livable city.
You could live in Alaska?
No, I'm not choosing it. I'm going 25 mil. What were my options? Boston.
25 million were Texas, Massachusetts, or Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going there.
Okay.
I'm going there.
That's a pretty good answer.
Probably go live in Boston, live a dope little East Coast lifestyle.
Yeah, 25 million carries you a long way.
Austin's a beautiful area.
Where was 50 million?
50 million was Georgia or Tennessee.
I mean, Nashville?
I would take Georgia. Georgia, $50 million
Atlanta,
would be my answer.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you got a big enough state. There's a lot of stuff to do. Yeah. There's big urban cities. There's
you
rural areas.
So much land.
I mean, I could go to the Masters all the time. I got $50 million. I'm buying passes.
Yeah.
It goes $50 million goes a long ways in Georgia.
Same with Tennessee.
So, yeah, I think that would be my vote. $50 million Georgia.
Nashville's a cool city.
Nashville would be solid.
You get $50 million, it's Cashville.
Yeah.
That it is, Bob.
Yep.
All right, Tennessee final answer.
Post Malone's building like a country music venue in Nashville.
That's a lot of people are doing that now.
I got to be honest, man.
What happened to White Iverson, you're wondering? Asking aloud?
I mean, if you were following his career, you kind of see this coming, that he was leaning in. He's going to start leaning that way with music.
Dude, it's a good album. I've listened to it. Have you heard of this Post Malone guy? He's pretty good. I'd never heard of him before.
When his music comes
also
on.
This gal, Beyonce, she does songs too. I don't know if you
careful.
Guys have heard about
You're
Beyonce.
Really upset people.
So she's this new musician on the scene, yeah. And she made a country album.
She did, yeah.
Dude, pretty solid. You know how to hold them and fold them?
16 carriages. His country album comes on in the rotation if I play him on Apple Music, and I could not skip faster past those
You go,
songs.
You go fast
yeah,
through that?
I have no interest.
No Even thing. Tom Hanks's kid went country. Remember his White Boy Summer, Chet Hanks? He has a country song out now.
It's almost as if there's a grift happening.
Everybody's going that direction, man.
It's almost as if there's like an avenue where you go, hey, man.
Water's warm.
I'm one of you.
I'm right here,
Dirty
too.
Sprague, live in Atlanta.
I mean, they do call me an urban cowboy. Melsack, aside from your team winning a title, what is your favorite game of football that you've ever watched, college or pros? Mine is Alabama versus Clemson 2017, Watson to Renfro for the win. It's a really random poll. But a very good game.
Damn.
So can't pick a game that includes your team. Your favorite football game you've ever watched. That's a really tough question.
I know, because I'm doing college pro at the same time in my brain.
That's a really tough question.
I mean, USC-Texas was...
USC-Texas is very
felt
good.
Elite. It felt special. It felt unique.
Whoa,
it was,
Nelly.
Wasn't that Keith Jackson's last one?
I believe I so. So.
And it was nighttime, so. Like...
Yeah.
There was just
well, it
a,
was the Rose Bowl, so it
I
was
know, but
the
was
end
just,
of the game, the sun had set. Yes.
It was something about that game. Vince Young, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, the juggernaut of Pete Carroll. Here comes Mac Brown in Texas. Like, it's hard not to want to pick that one.
That's a good poll.
But I'm trying to think of the NFL not involving my team.
What's your favorite non-your team Super Bowl that you can remember? Because everybody remembers their team winning a Super Bowl, but like, what's the best game that you're like, God, that was such a good game? There's been great ones, but a lot of it has to do with my enjoyment of the team that wins.
That
like,
Eagles-Chiefs game was pretty good, too.
The Eagles-Chiefs game was great.
The Rams-Titans that where they made the catch and
Derek
was
Mason
on the one. Yeah.
To the one-yard line.
Mike Jones. Who tackled him? Mike Jones.
Mike Jones.
Ooh. 1 yard short. Look at you. You knew that. That's a good one.
You know what I'll give you?
Seeing the Saints win the Super Bowl is pretty wild.
Seeing the Saints win with the onside kick,
Peyton Manning, and it was the Saints. Like, the Saints were the Aints my entire life.
Were the Colts coming off? Were they going back-to-back? Were they pushing for back-to-back? Or did they take a gap in between titles? Because they beat the
Bears.
I think
Bears.
It was in
Bears.
08, right? So it was 06 was... Oh, yeah, because it was 07 was the Giants-Pats. And then
it went Colts, Pats, and then
Brady
the Saints
got hurt the next year.
That's
so
right.
It was Colts, Saints. Right. If I'm not mistaken,
I'll give you one. This is actually going in the face of what I just said and enjoying the team that won it because I was definitely rooting against them. The divisional round game between the Bills and the Chiefs with 13 seconds to go. The final two minutes of that game,
so
where Kansas City
touchdown,
scores,
touchdown.
Buffalo scores, Kansas City scores. You go to over. I mean, that was just insane level of football.
The Frank Reich Bills rally against the Oilers, the Warren Moon Oilers.
Yeah. I was unfortunately a little too young to say that I watched
that
down
was,
by 30, right, or whatever it was.
It
35
was, it
nothing.
It was
or,
ridiculous.
Buck comes in with a good one, and I watched this at my grandma's house, and she couldn't have cared less about football. Boise State, Oklahoma.
That's a great one.
And that just
Statue of Liberty.
That was when bowl games that weren't playoff games mattered, and like that was the true David Goliath.
I'll give you one from my childhood, the Super Bowl that I probably remember the most. You watch them all, but the one that I remember standing out the most to me was Packers and Broncos. That felt
Elway.
Like Elway going for
they
a ring.
They were double-digit underdogs in
big
that game.
Underdogs.
And I
Favre was going for his
Packers.
Second ring. Like that felt like big time. This is a big deal.
Dude, they had Gilbert Brown with a neck brace behind him. I just,
Dorsey Levens, Antonio Freeman.
Oh, Dorsey Levens.
Remember those teams?
Was so good, and I hated him.
Last one here.
Antonio Freeman.
Hey, dude, some fun flashback names in that
what
Super Bowl.
What was the tight end's name?
Chimura?
Mark Chimura. Chewy, they called him.
You go back, Shannon Sharp on that Denver team. Terrell Davis, who had the concussion issue, or the, not concussion issue, the migraine issue, I think, in that game, right? Then you have to sit out half of it or whatever. Fun walk down memory lane. Last one here.
Helicopter Elway.
Double sack. That's one of the most iconic plays
that's
in
a good pull
the history
you.
Of the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good pull from you.
I just that was like right in my – I was like 9 years old.
Yeah.
That's just like you understand the importance of the Super Bowl and what it means.
You knew what it meant to Elway, too.
Yes,
even
never
if you
won.
Were young. It was like that was a big storyline. Is he ever going to get another chance at this thing?
Huge deal.
And he ended up repeating, but yeah.
This is from Jay in Beaverton for Dirt. Being a new dad, how have you been pushed further down the totem pole and forgotten about? Nobody ever – as new dads out there holding up, so how are you doing? For Swag and Sprague, what changes have you noticed since Daddy Dirt became a father?
How have I'll let you answer that first, Dirt. I'll let you get that one.
Oh, I forgot that one changed. Where is the... I'm
terrified.
Got another Daddy Dirt somewhere. Here we go.
Hey, Daddy Dirt.
There you go. How has it changed me? I'm getting less sleep. That's definitely true.
But you knew that was going to happen.
I knew that was going to happen. I've learned pretty quickly how short my fuse is, and it's a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be going in. Like, there's moments where you get at the end of the day, and you're like, yeah, okay, I probably didn't need to react that way. He's won. What do I expect? There's some of those kind of moments. So I realized how short my fuse is. I think it's made me more emotional to things, like certain songs or TV shows. Or I was already an emotional guy. I cry at the end of Rudy. People don't forget. He's carried off the field. So I already was emotional going in, but it's definitely made me more emotional. I don't know. I think that's about it.
I think the thing that I would say, because we had talked a lot before you had Teddy ball game. Your brother has kids. Like, you kind of knew a lot of what you were getting into there.
I've been around kids, yeah.
The obvious things are what you just named. The thing that surprised me was I didn't expect you to be a hardcore 90s dad, like military-style dad in any way. But you kind of surprised me with your very soft-spoken dad. Hey, Teddy.
Hey, buddy.
And that surprised me when I saw it. I mean, like, that's a side he had never seen before.
You got to have the soft side, you got to have the hard side.
I don't think the hard side exists.
Oh, the hard side's in there. Don't you worry. When food's getting thrown all over the dining room, the hard side comes out.
Wait till Teddy Ball
when nobody else is around.
It's not quite that bad, but you get my point.
It's not what you did when I was around.
The hard side's in there, okay? Let me tell you that. Hard side's there, all right? I got a hard shell and a soft interior. That's what they tell me. Have I changed at all, Swigard?
I haven't noticed, too, but I'm not around you as much as you guys.
We don't really hang out that much.
Well,
I told you, I think he's mad
that
I showed up.
So you're just showing up.
I did show up with a ribeye.
You did.
I didn't have a ribeye. I would have been worse.
I did eat that ribeye on Friday.
Oh, really?
I did, yeah. It was good.
I thought that was a good cut of meat.
That was a solid. That was a solid ribeye.
There you go.
Solid cut of meat, right?
Also,
there.
Also, I think it's given you a reason to do less.
Like, what regard is in every
I think
regard?
I think it's a. I think in a good way. It's an out for you.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't do it. I got the kid.
Yeah, I don't like doing.
Can't
things.
Show to that thing.
That's definitely
it's
about,
a great excuse for
it's
a while.
It's phenomenal.
Getting out of stuff.
It really is.
I'm gonna milk this thing for 18 years.
Well, the thing you're gonna find in the next 2 to 3. Is you will just not even need an excuse. You'll just start saying no.
Nah,
I'm good.
Dude, I had a buddy came over and helped me hook up my washing machine last week. And he told me a story he's having. It was his kid's birthday party. And a bunch of people came over. It was like 2 hours. I said, we got a 12-2 window.
Sounds like my nightmare.
Right? One of the moms brought two kids. One of them not invited to the party. She brought both of her kids. Stayed for the time of the party.
Oh, I had that happen once.
Birthday party ends. Yeah. She's like, I got nothing to do. Can I hang? He's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Birthday party ends at 2. Everybody else leaves. She just stays. She stayed outside, was talking to her brother on the phone legitimately for another 2 hours while her two kids were inside the house running around.
I'm going to need a tap on the shoulder. Hey, we're leaving. I'm like making something up.
Yeah, I don't care.
Hey,
I'll get my whole family into the car and drive away if I have to get you out of my house.
Yeah.
I'm not a babysitter.
I told you this. My daughter had one when she was 6, and she invited all these kids she's not really friends with as much anymore. Anyways, they show up. It's a 3-hour party. We had everything planned to the T. These kids show up. Every parent that drops off, we said, all right, be here by 4. Party will be done. Great, thanks. This parent shows up, sits on my couch.
Just plops down.
Doesn't even look at us.
Just sits on your couch.
Looks at her phone. Just starts scrolling.
Get out of my house.
And I have a house that's like the living room, kitchen is just one room. So we're just awkwardly in the kitchen. I'm looking at my wife and I'm like, what are we doing? And she's not looking at us or talking. And she just looks up after like an hour of silence and goes, having a Super Bowl party if you want to go. And I was like,
no.
Are you talking to us?
Am I here? Are you there?
So weird. It was so uncomfortable.
You can communicate? I thought you were a mute.
I was just like, hey, never again. Don't invite that kid ever again.
So I'm terrified of all this, but yeah, that's how I've changed a little bit. You know, shout out to the dads out there. It is Father's Day weekend, gentlemen. It is Father's Day weekend. Let's wrap it up. How do you fill the void next on The Fam? Hey, this is actually going to remind me.
Yeah.
As we get a little Sam and David. Sly Stone died today, or yesterday, from Sly and the Family Stone.
Really?
He just passed away. He was 82 years old, I believe. Who doesn't love Sly and the Family Stone? I mean, it's just one of the all-time iconic rock bands.
I missed
bands.
That.
Yeah, he just passed. I think it was yesterday.
82.
82 years old, yeah. Man. Sly and the Family Stone. So go listen to some Sly and the Family Stone.
Good fun music.
On your drive around today. Mm. Before we get to filling the void, let's take a quick peek at some of the football games people texted. And by the way, Mark Chamorro texts are coming in.
Wow.
According to one I
Did
read.
Multiple people text us in?
He was acquitted of all charges, but I don't want
to. Let's not dive into that.
Okay, let's not do that.
I didn't know that. I was just naming names.
I'm just doing the old name thing. Reggie White. The kick six, Bama and Auburn.
Darren Sharp. Oh.
Florida State, Virginia Tech, Mike Vick.
Kick That's six a solid game. One. I was at a Village Inn restaurant eating breakfast for dinner.
Did we say the Steelers-Seahawks Super Bowl? Oh, that game, I thought that game sucked.
I watched that at work. It was terrible. But if you're a Seahawks fan, it was a big deal.
We said I became a Packers fan because of that Super Bowl. I was five. That's what happens. You're young. You see that. Oh, this is great. You watch the Super Bowl. How are we feeling the void tonight? We got no NBA Finals and no Stanley Cup. Great job, NBA and NHL.
Yeah.
I got Dodgers-Padres.
Okay.
So yeah, Major League Baseball.
I probably baseball. Will.
My team finally won a game yesterday.
Yeah, that Liberty
You're
game.
Out of San Francisco now.
Oh, we got a chance.
The Liberty are a wagon right now. I don't know if you've seen them play.
I have not.
Yeah, they're on a mission to win a back-to-back
collision course, Minnesota, New York.
They don't play till like the end of July.
How are my Fever doing? Are my Fever off to a good start?
They need Caitlin Clark.
They just obliterated the Sky the other day.
Without Caitlin Clark, right? And they went by 30?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Good little show. If you miss any of it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. Tuesdays are fun, man. It's fun sack. Got us through the final hour. We love you all. Thanks for being part of our day. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.